In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord your God is your refuge, so where else would you rather be this night? We have heard the sermon quite a bit, if some of you remembers it. But a night like this is a night unlike any other. A night unlike any other in the history of a long oppressed people. The Israelites in Egypt, on the eve of their deliverance, gathered in their homes with a sense of anticipation. This is the night of the first Passover, a night when the Lord of hosts promised to pass over houses marked by the blood of the Lamb, sparing those within from the final plague that would break Pharaoh's defiance. Each family huddled together, partaking a meal prepared in haste, their hearts heavy with the years of bondage that they have suffered, but also filled with the hope of freedom, as they heard from the men of God who tell them what to do. The blood on their doorpost was a sign, and it was God's command. For there was quite literally no better place to be than within the homes under the protective sign of the blood's lamb, the lamb's blood, awaiting God's saving act. So fast forward another night, centuries later, where a group of disciples find themselves in an upper room in Jerusalem, and this night too is marked with anticipation. Though they don't have the full scope of what is about to unfold, and they don't understand why they're gathered, besides the Passover that they know. Here, the lamb is not on the table as part of the meal, but rather, he is the host, the provider of a feast, surpassing any Passover meal that came before. Jesus, the Lord of hosts, is in their presence, and he prepares to give them something incomparable. And this thing is the benefit of his body and blood to eat and to drink. On this night, as on the first Passover, there is nowhere else that could compare where you could be. The disciples perhaps unknowingly are partaking in a new Passover, the covenant that would deliver not just from temporal bondage like Israel, but from the shackles of sin and death itself. So it is for us that there is nothing greater than the hospitality that the Lord has prepared for us in this place. So the question is, why is this night different from every other night? If we were Jews, Jewish boys probably ask this question to their fathers every Passover, the Passover that begins with a Seder meal, that meal that where Jewish people recounted everything that God has done for the Israelites in delivering them from the hand of Pharaoh and the Egyptians. It is unlikely, though, that anyone would ask this exact question on the night the Lord was betrayed in that upper room. But it is a very good question, nonetheless. What makes this night so different? Why gather here on a Thursday night in the middle of the week? The answer is simple. Because tonight is the night for us. The big night. Because of our need for deliverance, because of the price for our deliverance, and because of the means that God uses to deliver us. So brothers and sisters in Christ, what shall we do? In order to understand what we ought to do, we have to look back to Israel. Israel on the night on the first Passover, when they had been in bondage for 400 years, and they had slowly but surely moved from being guests of Pharaoh to being feared slaves. For there were so many that Pharaoh was not sure what to do with them. Pharaoh thinks that, or asks himself this question, what if they sought to overthrow me? So out of fear, he put them in bondage. And that bondage only got worse as time went on. Their bondage got to the point where life itself was really at stake for them. They could die. Nine times Moses spoke to Pharaoh and begged him, as God commanded, and urged Pharaoh to let God's people go. And nine times Pharaoh refused. So finally God sent the angel of death to come and take the firstborn of all Egypt, to crush Pharaoh and all his armies, and to release God's people from their slavery. This, of course, is not like our bondage to sin and death and the power of the devil. Our slavery may not always seem too hard, but there are certainly times when slavery of sin seems to be more appealing than the freedom of the cross. But we should make no mistake, it is still slavery. Your slavery is such that death itself surrounds you. The enemy is around you, and it is so great that it is impossible for you to escape on your own. So like the Israelites many years ago, only God himself can deliver you from this bondage of sin. And this deliverance does not come easy. Your deliverance has a price. And on that first Passover night, the Israelites sacrificed a lamb and put its blood on the doorpost. The lamb that they had was just a shadow and a picture of the one, the great lamb that is to come. The lamb that we know as Christ, our soul's great friend. This lamb offers himself up for you this night and even prepares to suffer the pangs of Sheol itself. So in a few short hours, you will cry out with the psalmist, my God, why have you forsaken me? On the night when he has betrayed, the night when he makes this one great sacrifice for all people, for you, he meets with his disciples and he delivers them the greatest gift of all. He delivers himself. He gives them his body and blood to drink and to eat. The Israelite of old had the Passover lamb to remind them that God's deliverance from Egyptians. But now, all God's people, all of us, eat and drink of the one, the great Passover lamb without spot or blemish, and that is Jesus Christ, who is the true perfect sacrifice not made with hands. What does this mean for us, dearly beloved? What this means for you is simple, and it is profound and beautiful. It means that this night we remember that Jesus' sacrifice is once and for all, and we remember that it isn't something we really do. We remember that because Jesus gives himself to us, it is his work. So what happens tonight is a holy remembering. He sacrifices himself on the cross and now delivers that one sacrifice to you in his body and blood. And that is quite literally how we remember his death. This is how we are delivered from our sins. And we remember his death by participating in it, by eating his body and drinking his blood. We show the world that Jesus died and rose again from the dead, and that he now sits at the right hand of God, where he gives himself for the life of the world. So this night is unlike any other night. This is the night when Jesus delivers you from the great enemy that is sin, death, and the power of the devil. This is the night when God delivers his people, that the angel of death passes over you and rests upon Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. He pours his own blood into the cup of salvation so that you may drink of it and be delivered in full. The next question is this: what shall we do? Jesus' answer to this question is simple. He offers hospitality. Hospitality that is not the skills of hosting and entertaining your guest, but his hospitality is a hospitality of divine mercy, and his room is large. Jesus, the Lord, is making room for the sinner, making room for you, and God has restrained his judgment against you, slows down his wrath for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ, who is obedient to death on the cross, where he atones for your sins. Now the Jesus, who is denied a guest room at his birth, he comes to prepare an upper room where he can feast with his disciples. He comes to set a table for tax collectors and sinners. He comes to set a table for you to rejoice. He comes to make an inn for the wounded to be healed. He comes to make room for you to forgive your sin at his table here. The covenant is no longer for Israel or just the Jews, but the new Israel, and that's you and I. So what shall we do? Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. And the pronoun this must not be limited to the mere rite itself that we do here, but it is the gospel. Catechism explains this. What is the benefit of this eating and drinking? These words given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins shows that in the sacrament, forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation are given us through the words. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is life and salvation. So dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in light of his great mercy, what shall we do? This is the feast of the Lamb who has slain, and there is room for us there. Let us do this in remembrance of him. In the name of Jesus.